I'm Alan Grisby from the Strange and Unusual Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We are a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopXCast.
You are listening to PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopXCast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And welcome, everyone. We are live right here on PopXCast. Joining me right here down below is Miss Lindsay Badger. Lieutenant Badger, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Hey, we've had a full weekend full of fun family adventures, and I'm ready to get my geek on with you, Joe, as we do every week.
Awesome.
We have lots of stuff lined up this week.
Well, we want to send some shout-outs, too, over in the chat room. We got Luke hanging out with us. We got J.S. Gilbert. And we want to give our thoughts to Mr. Austin Burke, who is having some internet technical difficulty at his college campus. So it looks like his internet connection may have went down at last minute. So that kind of sucks a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, it puts a little bit of a damper on things. But Will will trudge on and carry the torch. And he's listening in whenever he gets his connection. Hopefully he'll pop in the middle of the show.
Hopefully. If he does pop in, then we'll be sure to just let him on board. But we want to say it's so good to be back this week. We were actually kind of under the weather last week, very sick. I had some kind of stomach virus or bug or something, and then my wife was sick, and so we were really just stressed out last week. But it's really awesome to be back this week and be a part of PopX. So I'm excited for this week's show.
Me too.
Yeah. So, hey, guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I am your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us right here live on PopX.live and Geeks.live. That is our home network. Come hang out with us and join us in the conversation over on the YouTube Live channel, okay? So focus over there on YouTube Live and come say hello to us and ask questions, engage in conversation, or maybe ask a question when we have our interview.
That's right. And I am Lindsay Badger, your Midwestern geeky okey. And if you missed last week's episode, everything about Serial Saturday morning, I guess it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago,
last
yeah.
Week.
I think so, yeah.
We're gonna have to, yeah. It's kind of
it's a little different.
We'll work on it. But make sure that you guys go check out our Serial and Saturday Morning Cartoons episode. It was so much fun looking back at all of Team PopX's favorites picks from their childhood, and we kind of got to walk down memory lane a little bit, and it was lots of fun. So you guys make sure to go back and check that out. And while you are looking around, make sure you go over and head to either Google Play or iTunes, click the subscribe button, catch up on some amazing shows from our past archive. The whole archive has all kinds of good stuff. You'll find at least one show you like, if not all of them.
Probably all
of them. There's so much geeky goodness there. You just can't go wrong. And while you're there, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and a review, and we will love you forever for doing so.
Yes, we will. And so that's it right off the bat. And we are actually going to go ahead and dive right on in right now to our news segment. So I'm hearing some audio here. I think it might be Let me just make sure. Okay. So we're going to dive right into the news, and here we go in 3, 2, 1.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
I want to remind you right at the top of the, right off the bat, this week is going to be an epic week on the CW as The Flash kicks off October the 4th at 8 p.m. and then Arrow will be right there after on October the 5th at 8 p.m. as well. Then Supergirl the following week at 10 o'clock. Now, Lindsay, what else do you have for us in terms of goodiness here?
You know, I love everything CW's been doing right now. Mm-hmm. They debuted the new DC Legends of Tomorrow poster for the new season.
They did.
It's going to be so exciting. You've got a gigantic, I don't know if we have the picture of that or not. There it is. The gigantic Adam looming over all of our
favorite teammates,
Jefferson, Jax, and Mark Stein, who come together to make Firestorm, the White Canary, Rip Hunter, and Heatwave. But we have some new faces this season.
Yes, we do.
Well,
we have Vixen.
Yes, Vixen, which is played by Massey Richardson-Sellers, and also Citizen Steel, which is played by Nick Zano. And alas, there is no Captain Cold, which actually makes me kind of sad. I really, really enjoyed his character. And you won't be seeing the rest of the Legion of Doom, at least not on this poster, but I think there's rumors of them showing up sometime during Season 2, however. So they will also lead into a crossover that's a four-way crossover across Supergirl, The Flash, The Arrow, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Jeez whiz.
It's going to be so epic. I am so ready.
A four-way multi-show crossover.
Yes.
That only CW can pull that kind of stuff off. You know what? We have a really cool guest over hanging out with us, too, in the chat room. We got Angel Hill from Regions Up in the North. How are you doing, my dear?
Good I'm so glad you stopped by, dear.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, man.
Sending her awesome. Positive, happy energy our way.
I'm
I love it.
Sending you some good juju right here, okay? But, all right, next up on the list, we got Lionsgate. Lionsgate, rather, has confirmed that Alpha 5 will be played by none other than Saturday Night Live's very own Bill Hader. Oh,
what
my
do you
gosh.
Think about that one? I think this could be fun.
Bill Hader.
A little different, Bill, but it'll be fun.
You know, he has a really weird vocal range. And I don't remember if he used to do this old guy skit on SNL where his, let's go to the, I can't remember the name of the skit, but he would be like this old guy and he'd be like he's dead and then he automatically just wakes up and it was like, so funny. So I think they got a good choice. But in terms of the movie itself, and I'm going to let you kind of dive into this one here. I don't know about these posters were just kind of
This was kind of news not this week but the week before. Mm-hmm. They released these new posters that kind of gave you a glimpse of what these Zorgs, the machines, the essentially animal like transformer machines that they pieced together to make the Megazord. Okay, so each Power Ranger has their own piece, and there is some interesting. That's my favorite one. The blue one is definitely gotten the most.
That is a Photoshop fail.
Yeah, that's some.
Why would you be like?
Make your own comments about this because it's like I heard somebody say that looked like an Old Spice commercial because of just the way.
Oh,
now,
man.
Now, I know you and I, Joe, we have graphic design backgrounds, so I know we're both cringing on the inside, but...
Holy
you know,
cow, that is...
I think that even the layman that views this is like,
it's,
what?
It's... I gotta be honest with you.
What just happened here?
I gotta be honest with you, Lindsay. That looks really rough. That's rough. Just I mean, I don't know. That's cheesy. There's some cheese factor there. Where's the cheese whiz?
I hope that this is not a sign of how the movie's going to turn out because I'm going to be so sad.
Well, we have a crap load of news to get through here, so we're just going to power through this. LetVision, a Turkish tech company, is bringing Transformers to a whole new level. Now, the real-life Transformer named Letrons transforms from BW3 series coupe to a full-finger moving Transformer bot. Now, look at this thing. Look at this thing moving.
So cool. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but you need to go Google it. Showing it right now.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Electrons can't be driven normally, but it can be controlled via a remote like a gigantic life-size transformer toy. According to LetVision, the vehicle has tons of features, including kinetic fingers, wrist action, arm movements, dynamic eye, and even a fog machine. Also, Letron's talks, and they also, although we can't understand what he's saying, we can only assume it's something about destroying a cube. Now, LetVision doesn't want to stop with Letrons. However, they want to build an entire fleet of these amazing real-life Transformers. Now that is some nerd nugget, juicy, geeky stuff right there.
And they don't have them for sale yet, but could you imagine what the price tag would be on one of those bad boys?
I know, right? Look at that thing.
Priceless. And a fog machine. Like, let's go get our glow sticks and let's start a rave,
now,
like the Transformer
now,
rave.
You know what I think he's saying? Beep boo, beep boo.
Beep boo, beep boo.
Anyway.
Well, let's move into some rumored news that the Marvel spies have discovered the outline of a plot synopsis for Avengers Infinity.
What?
Yes. It starts with the premise of the Infinity Gauntlet comic book crossover series, as opposed to an actual Infinity War storyline. It will feature the mad Titan Thanos trying to impress the personification of death, which they're actually portraying as a woman instead of an actual skeleton, theoretically. Thanos assembles all six affinity stones and utilizes the gauntlet to have godlike powers. His grand plan is that death will also feel love for him if he brings her enough souls, so he decides to extinguish half the life in the universe to impress her.
Dang.
The personification of death will be in the movie, and previous fan rumors have noticed that Kate Blanchett's Hela would possibly substitute for the death character in the comics. So far, we know that the Living Avengers will show up, as well the Guardians of the Galaxy team, and Nick Fury will also return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Infinity War goes into production in Atlanta this November, and Josh Brolin has reportedly already been doing performance capture work as Thanos. Avengers Infinity War is set to hit theaters May 4th of 2018. That's a whole bunch of awesome.
Wow, that's like mind-blown type news right there. So
it's
really,
still a rumor, though. It hasn't been confirmed, but it makes perfect sense to
me. I have read the comics from the original Infinity War, and Thanos was infatuated with death. And even so much that he married death, and they became a couple. So Thanos and death was a couple. And I think if I'm not mistaken, out of that, I don't want to say Adam Warlock, but there was there was some mutant stuff that was born out of that. It was a demonic character, if I'm not mistaken. I can't really remember the storyline, so maybe somebody can chime in and correct me if you're into the comics. But
I think we have 2 years to brush up on our Infinity War / Thanos.
Well, I have the graphic novel, so I basically need to read it. So Blizzard has decided to do away with the name Battle.net for their online platform. Instead, it'll simply be referred to as Blizzard Tech. The Battle.net tech will still be the central nervous system, quote-unquote, for Blizzard games. It just won't have that name anymore. Why move away from the name after 20 years? Well, the company believes that having a different identity for their online platform was causing unnecessary confusion.
Can I just say hi to Mr. JP Freeman over in the chat?
JP Freeman, how are you doing, man? Welcome welcome to the show, PopX Cast.
All right, moving right along. This is going to be kind of cool. This year, FXX, there's two X's, is airing all 600 episodes of The Simpsons in a row, and the marathon will take place over 13 days from 12 p.m. Eastern on November 24th, which is Thanksgiving, so you can get your Thanksgiving on, through Tuesday, December 6th. FXX is billing this binge as the longest running marathon in TV history.
My God.
That is a whole lot of Homer.
600 episodes of The Simpsons. Holy cow, that's crazy. That's okay. So, well, that's something to look forward to. Binge watching.
A little bit better than your Bond marathons. And
just a little bit, yeah. So moving on here. I want to do the next two, Lynn, if that's cool.
Go for it.
So the Doctor Who spinoff class is heading our way soon. The TARDIS traveling Time Lord Peter Capaldi will appear in the premiere episode October 22nd on the BBC 3. Capaldi was quoted as saying, "The Doctor Who family is growing, and it's fantastic to be able to welcome the new young cast of class into the Whoinverse." So there you go.
Nice.
Get
a little bit of the younger generation locked into the geekiness of Doctor
Who.
I like it. I love it.
So Josh, here's another one moving on. We've got Joss Whedon has assembled the Avengers to get people to vote. What?
Okay. Did you see this video?
I have seen this video. This is interesting. Whedon directed Marvel's The Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron and launched, quote-unquote, Save the Day, a super PAC whose mission is to get people to vote in the upcoming election. He recruited Avengers actors like Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, as well as a dozen other A-listers for a video that stresses the importance of the election while also taking thinly veiled shots at Donald Trump. Interesting. So is this more of a Hillary biased campaign?
It seems like it.
So those in the 3-minute long tongue-in-cheek video mentioned that this amount of celebrities only comes together if it's important issues that really truly matters to everyone, like diseases, disasters, and Don Cheadle says in the video, a racist, abusive coward who could permanently damage the fabric of our society.
Hmm.
Oh man,
that stings a little bit.
So you know, we'll stop on that one, and we'll just say, you know, PopX is, you know, we cover nerdy news, and even though it's a great thing that they assembled them, it would have been better if they would have done it in more of a non-biased situation.
I agree with
that. All right, on with the news badge.
All right, moving on. Transformers: The Last Night is to include scenes involving Nazis during World War II.
Whoa.
The filming of these scenes created quite a whole lot of controversy, as the building the crew covered in Nazi flags happened to be Winston Churchill's birthplace.
Wow.
It drew a huge outrage from some, including UK veterans, but the director, Michael Bay, wanted to assure us that this isn't as big of a deal as it seems, and he wouldn't do anything to disrespect the veterans. And, you know, that revealed in Winston Churchill would actually be a major protagonist in the film.
Okay.
He explained that the people hasn't been fortunate enough to read the scripts, so they don't know that Churchill is actually a big hero in the movie, and Churchill would be smiling down upon Michael Bay in the way that he was portrayed.
Interesting. Okay.
We'll see the movie in 2017, and I guess we'll see how it all turns out.
I got you. So that'd be interesting to see how that turns out with Michael Bay and just the whole Transformers saga.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Well, moving along with news, we do have our guest who is ready on board here as we get ready to wrap up our new segment. On September the 30th, this past week, was International Podcast Day. And it is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide through education and public engagement. For more information, you can go over to internationalpodcastday.com and check it out. So we are a part of that community. We are part of that ongoing effort to make really nerdy things for nerdy people. And hopefully everybody in the world will just be happy and nerdy. So that's really interesting. And moving on with the news, the CW has also announced that there is a 4-part That was part of that. Anyway, backing up. Justice League, this is kind of a big one here. I was reading this today. Justice League filming wraps in London. Wow. So the Justice League filming has officially wrapped, though it's not the end of the entire film shoot. The production is now moving to the West Fjords of Iceland. Wow, the West Fjords. To film some of the scenes. The cast and crew celebrated the end of the filming in London last night, which was actually October the 1st, with a huge wrap party. Wow. That's pretty cool, right?
That is pretty cool. You know what else is cool?
What's that?
Marvel's Luke Cage. And I don't know if you guys have started watching it. I'm on episode 4, and it's pretty badass.
Wow, you're three ahead of me. How does that happen?
It dropped on September 30th, and I've been binge-watching Marvel stuff like nobody's business lately, kind of flowed right into my little lineup.
I got to pause you for a minute. I was like, where has Lindsay been?
And yeah, I've been kind of absent in the streaming world because I've like, been what's... trying to catch up on my... I've been prepping for... I don't know if you've seen these awesome... baby
those
shower
are...
centerpieces back here, but I'm working on a superhero baby shower for my sister-in-law. While I've been deliberately working on this, I've also been streaming the heck out of my Netflix. So it's been like a multitasking.
Wait, can you move your head a little bit? Wow.
There you go.
You still got Green Lantern, Iron Man, Flash, Hulk, Superman, Captain America, Batman, and Flash. Wow.
And yep, they're all Spider-Man, there.
Spider-Man's
back there.
Yeah.
And Iron Man, yep.
You were just so crafty.
And that's just the surface, and we're not going to go there. But
right.
But yes, I definitely recommend diving into Luke Cage if you enjoy Jessica Jones or anything in their little worlds. Totally. Yeah, that's
stuff. All right, so I'll cover the last three, and Lindsay, you will hit us with a PopX hit it of the week. Jurassic World 2 will be scarier and have more animatronics, is what we were told by the directors and producers. So they're looking for more lifelike realism and kind of straying away so much as from the CGI aspect. So maybe they're taking a page out of J.J. Abrams from Star Wars Force Awakens and actually focusing more on real life props, perhaps?
That would be. It's much more believable whenever you do it that way.
Yeah, that's it. And so lastly but not least, a new Max Steel poster has officially arrived for fans of the upcoming franchise, and it kind of looks really cool. So Max Steel is making his debut coming up this, I believe, is it October? Yeah, I think so.
That's right.
All right. So, Lindsay Badger, what is this week's PopX Hit-Its of the Week?
We have two Hit-Its of the Week this week. And if you are ever watching Star Wars and were curious about how much those ships and vehicles cost, we have the numbers.
Okay.
A snow speeder in The Empire Strikes Back costs a mere $22 million. Oh, that's chump change.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's nothing. But if you're a real baller, a Singer AT-AT would run you about $226 million. To build, and about $192,000 to maintain and pilot. So if you build your own Death Star, if the vehicles aren't enough and you just want to build your own Death Star to take over the entire galaxy, it would cost you about $8.1 quadrillion. Can we do that like this?
Quadrillion.
$8.1 quadrillion.
My gosh. Isn't that our nation's debt? No, I'm just messing with you. That's funny.
It's like that much over it. Not
that much.
Now, hit it number two. Now, you guys, hold on to your seats. Our very own Team Pop X member, Joe Burke, has released album number 4 this week on September 30th. It's now been officially launched on Amazon, MP3, iTunes, Google Play, and even Spotify, among over 30 other music distributors. Check out his new album now, facebook.com/Joseph Burke Music. And his album captures the past 4 years of his life by the way of song. From highs to lows, each song carries a certain tone and a mood that resonates with the composer. This new album combines newer recording and engineering methods with crisper sound and brighter soundscapes. And I've actually got a sneak peek of the album, and it is actually pretty darn good. So if you guys are listening, hop over there, go download it, and actually enjoy some really awesome stuff that our very own Joe has put out and put his heart and soul into. So.
Thank you, Lindsay. You're too
You're
kind.
Welcome.
Appreciate that. And you know what, guys? That wraps up this week's Hit It of the Week.
And now it's time Yay. For PopX's of the Week.
All right, so that wraps us up on that. And we would like to welcome now the man, the myth, the legend, the interviewee of the show, Mr. John Pinto. And he is an illustrator, an artist, a man of many traits. John, welcome to the show, dude.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're coming in loud and crisp and clear, just like a nice bowl of Quaker Oats. So before we dive in, you know, John and I have actually found this out recently. This has been one of those epiphany moments, like when you realize, oh, he's that guy. So our church recently did this amazing retro series, which was combined some of the 80s classic movies, if you will, from pop culture, and the artwork that matched it was actually the artwork of Mr. Pinto here. And I was like, man, who is this artist guy? And and so I was talking to Todd over at Heroes Landing, and he was like, oh, yeah, you need to meet my friend John. And John who? John Pinto. And I'm like, there's that name again. Who is this guy? And so lo and behold, I found out he actually goes to our church, and he did all this stuff, and he does all this. I'm like, wow, this is, and you know, I do believe I've actually caught myself passing you, John, in the lobby after Sunday service. And I was just like, holy cow, now it just clicks. I've seen you many times there. So, welcome to the show, man. Are you ready to get some nerdy stuff going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. So before we dive in, let's talk a little bit about your background. Now, you grew up in Dumont, New Jersey, right?
Yeah, Dumont.
Dumont. And you later attended a little bit of the Ringling College of Art. Is that correct?
I got my degree from Ringling. I actually went a little bit to the School of Visual Arts in New York. I took a class at the Joe Kubert School of Cartoon Art in Dover.
Wow. Okay.
And finally getting my degree from Ringling here in Florida.
Wow. And Ringling is that located? It's here in Orlando.
Sarasota.
No,
Sarasota, Florida.
Okay. So early in life, did you always find yourself doodling and drawing, or kind of was it a trade that you were trained for?
Well, both, to be honest. I drew from a very, very early age. Luckily, my mom saved a couple of those drawings, so I have some of them.
Wow.
But that's all I really wanted to do. I knew that from the moment I could hold a pencil, and luckily I've been able to make a living doing it for the past 21 years.
Wow, that's awesome. So something that John and I share is that I draw and he draws as well. And it's really, really interesting when you go visit your parents on a holiday and your mom breaks out the album and starts embarrassing you with your child pictures and your old drawings. You're like, oh, Mom, put that away.
Oh, my mom had one hanging in her entranceway.
Are you serious?
After my freshman year of Ringling, I remember just saving absolutely everything to bring it home just to show my mom what I worked on, what I did, because she was still in Jersey. I was in Florida, so I figured I'd just get it there, show it to her, and then I could just throw it away.
Okay.
And the next, yeah, and so I did. You know, everything went out in the bins, and then next time I visited her, she went and pulled it out of the garbage and framed it, hung it up in the entranceway.
Aw, that's sweet. But that's a part of who you are, though. That's your legacy, and that's where you started. And it's kind of, I don't want to say something to brag about, but it's something to be proud of. That's where your humble beginnings, and it's where you started, so. What inspired you as a child to be artistic? What was that spark for you?
That was probably comic books was the biggest inspiration.
Okay.
I have an older brother, and he started reading comic books and got me into it. And actually, I learned how to read in a comic book.
Wow.
So I just looked at the pictures before I was able to read.
What was your earliest comic book?
The earliest one I remember was a old issue of The Incredible Hulk.
Did you say that because it was me, or did you say that?
No, I just remember the comic. I mean, if I saw I couldn't tell you the issue number, but if I saw the cover, I could tell you that was the one.
Wow.
There's my artistic memory. You know, I remember pictures, not numbers. But I remember being confused by certain comic books because the first issue of the X-Men I ever read, they were being like swatted by the Sentinels. It was very, very early in the new X-Men
run.
And I thought the Sentinels were the X-Men.
Okay.
And I thought the X-Men were the villains.
Because you wanted the big bad robot to be the good guy.
Well, yeah, they were pretty cool looking and they were knocking.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. All right, Lizzie.
Who were some of your most beloved inspirations, and what was it about them that motivated you to create some of your masterpieces?
I guess the earliest inspiration I would say was George Perez.
Good pull. Yeah.
He was the first artist that I recognized for being on more than one book. I'm like, oh, that's the same guy who drew that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is Marvel days when he was doing the Fantastic Four and the Avengers before the Teen Titans. And obviously once Teen Titans came out, I mean, I was a big, big George Perez fan. I was just at a show with him yesterday. And
you were at a show? Oh, yeah. That was Lake County.
Outdoors. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
I'm still in awe of him. I can't talk to George. I've met him a couple occasions, and he's just a total fanboy. I just stand back looking creepily in his direction.
You're like, I'm going to be the awkward guy that just kind of stares at you the whole day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got such a unique style that when you see, when you become familiar with his artwork, you can easily spot it easily when you go to the comic book shop and you start thumbing through the old directories of comics and the old boxes. Oh, that's a George Perez. Oh, that's that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a lot more detailed and naturalistic in his drawing before, like, other people started doing it.
Yeah.
I think where the trend really went that way. But
yeah,
I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember Todd McFarlane saying that George Perez was one of his inspirations because of the detail and the feathering and stuff, the way he used to draw. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about like your art school background, like your training and kind of how you refined?
Well, initially I thought I wanted to be a comic book artist, following in the footsteps of all my idols that were drawing comic books. And ironically, through a weird coincidence, a woman came into my mom's office, helped install some type of computer network, if I'm remembering it correctly. It's the early days of getting computers in offices and stuff. And her husband was a DC comic book artist. And when they started talking, passed along information, and he invited me to look at my work, and went under his tutelage a little bit. And that's when I realized you don't get to just draw Spider-Man or something. You have to draw the mailboxes and buildings and alleyways. And I was probably quickly turned off by that point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to draw a lamppost. I just want to draw Spider-Man.
You got to have all the details.
No. That's a thing that challenges
me. That was an eye-opener. And so I struggled with that a little bit. And, you know, art school is very, very expensive. When I started the School of Visual Arts in New York, I was probably ill-equipped mentally as well as financially to continue very long. So I wound up getting a job at a bank, not doing any art whatsoever. And it wasn't until a few years later. I mean, I still drew and I still had a sketchbook and stuff, but I wasn't pursuing it for a few years. And then finally I said, you know, if I don't make a move, I'm never going to do this. And I went back to school, and my first semester back to school at a community college, I was, an advertisement hanging up that Disney was recruiting for a college program internship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just getting out of a long relationship, and, you know, there's
all the baggage that goes along with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I figured a nice change of scenery might be nice. So I applied for the internship and I wound up getting it. And while I was down on the Disney college program, I found out about the Ringling School of Art in Sarasota, and I went to visit it on a day off, and I liked it. I applied, and I moved back to Florida and went to school.
Awesome.
And my mind was opened up to much more than comic books, like pure illustration, you know, J.C. Leindeckers and Norman Rockwell and Maxfield Parrish.
Norman Rockwell. Wow. That's some classic Southern artistry right there at its best. I love how he always captured that, just the moments an American like this, the whole circus periods of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and he perfectly captured those moments in time, like a still.
Yeah, he really distilled them down to pure Americana.
I mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, real briefly before we ask another question, hey guys over in the chat room, if you guys have a question that you yourself want to ask our artist of the week here, Mr. John Pinto, feel free to type it up now, and we'll see if we can address it for you. But have you worked in the theme park industry? And I know you said you worked at Disney, but there's so many facets of Disney. When you you can't even begin to unravel the mini ribbons of Disney. But so have you worked in the theme park industry like SeaWorld or Universal Studios?
Well, Disney, I worked actually in the theme park. Okay. I mean, I used to work merchandise when I first started.
Nice.
For a couple of years, I was a floor stocker and cash register. And during my internship, I worked at the Star Wars shop because back then no one wanted to work in Star Wars. Weird, right?
It wasn't cool then.
No, it wasn't. The kid that got assigned that wanted out and swap with me.
Wow. So...
But I did a lot of that, and when I was still there, and I was commuting back and forth to, when I started art school, I was working at Disney on the weekends, and a gentleman by the name of Ralph Kent, who worked, he used to be the head of what the at the time was called WED East, but it's Disney Imagineering.
Mm-hmm.
So he helped open the parks here in Florida, started a program in the parks where a bunch of young guys like us would draw Disney characters, do sketches for guests, and we'd also create one-of-a-kind hand-drawn wristwatches that could be personalized with Disney characters. And
wow.
They'd be drawn full-size, and then we had, machines up in the back to build a wristwatch with that art, and then they got to keep the art as well. And someone thought of me when they were putting the program together. I interviewed for that job, and then I got that. So then I was drawing at Disney for a few years. On the weekends while I was going to art school. I mean, can't ask for more than that. I was getting a paycheck for drawing.
Nice. So that was kind of, was that like a, I don't want to say like a childhood fantasy. Was that kind of like a dream come true, working for the mouse?
Well, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I got to work, I was in air conditioned, so I didn't have to worry about working outside in the heat anymore or anything like that. And drawing Disney characters is always fun, especially if you're getting paid for it.
We actually interviewed another comic book artist who worked for Disney in the early 90s. He was on PopX back in episode number 8, Russ Braun. I don't know if you know Russell Braun.
Not personally, but I did listen to the episode.
Yeah, he drew for Hercules and Milan, but I think he's now doing stuff for Marvel, freelance style stuff. But that's really cool, man. I think that is where you aspire to be, is if you want to be an artist. And it's always, you see so many Disney cartoons and animations, and it just sparks the imagination of so many people that one day I want to draw for Disney. So,
and I'm a big Disney buff still.
You can't live in Central Florida and not be.
We're really divided here, though. Like, you either love them or hate them. There's a lot of middle ground for it.
Yeah. It seems like
I left the theme park, I got into merchandise design. I do a lot of designing of t-shirts and souvenirs and stuff like that.
That's really cool, though, because there's so many things that you can do with that.
Yeah. Do you have any stuff on T-Fury?
None of that, because this was directly for the theme park. So
Wow. Okay, cool.
So, that's where my work for, Universal or SeaWorld or M&M's and stuff all came in.
Wait a minute. M&M's?
M&M's, the candy?
Really?
I did quite a bit of work.
Was it like lithographs or just
no, t-shirts and back scratchers and
back scratchers.
All kinds of stuff.
Shot glasses or toothpick holders, as Disney calls them. Whatever they wanted.
That's pretty rad, dude. So we were talking about you working in the theme park industry. So kind of shifting gears just a little bit. So what is it like traveling from city to city, attending cons and selling your work? I mean, I know traveling is not the most.
I used to joke, cause my wife has a job where sometimes she gets to go on, business trips, and she works for the Disney company. She'll be celebrating 25 years, very shortly, but, a working trip for her is like going to Disneyland or going on a Disney cruise,
Oh, it's a rough life.
I don't get to go. And so I always said I never had a job that I had to travel. I never had a job I got to travel. The first time I ever had to travel for work, they sent me to New Jersey, about two blocks from where my brother lives. And I was like, seriously, I get to go back to New Jersey?
Back to the home, man. It all comes full circle. So,
when I started doing conventions, it was my first real opportunity just to travel around. And I don't mind it so much. I mean, I don't like being away from my families. I like when they get to come along with me best. But I am fortunate enough that I have a couple travel companions that are all our wives trust us together and split the bill. And I'm only usually away for a weekend. So it's only a couple days and I'm back home.
That's good. So
by the time I start getting homesick, I'm ready, headed home. Yeah. But I really enjoy it. I mean, I've got to see a lot more of the country than I did before. On the rare occasion, I actually get to leave the convention center. But when it does present itself, it's always pretty cool.
That's crazy. One side note question for you. Now, when you're traveling, I know you got to take your prints with you. Is it hard to ship your prints to another country? Or
I don't ship them. I usually bring them with me.
Okay.
I've gotten my travel situation pretty much down to a science. So literally it's just, you would never know I'm going to a trade show you probably would, because my suitcase is an R2-D2 suitcase. And my backpack is like the Rebel Alliance backpack.
I have one of those for my son. That's true.
Well, that every time it comes off the conveyor belt at the airport, I just scream out, "That's the droid I'm looking for."
Yeah.
Yes.
Running, but my show fits in my suitcase, and my travel carry-on bag is all my prints. Wow. And my wife is in charge of all my inventory, so I'm only bringing the absolute necessary inventory that
leave the numbers to the missus. Good man.
That's what she does for a living. I totally trust her with that. So she knows on average for X print sells this many. That's all I'm bringing. I don't need to bring
perfect.
That's it.
Well, this kind of leads into my next question. Have you had any awkward moments or mishaps while you're at a con that kind of was just like, well, dang
like,
it.
Like losing my luggage or something?
Just
losing
anything. Or awkward fans coming up and just kind of doing it.
Like, yeah, awkward people saying things. I've never lost my luggage or had a mishap travel-wise.
Good.
That's really, so really far. Good.
One of my companions did, though. They lost his luggage. Worked out.
That would
luckily.
Be so horrible. Heartbreak.
The things people say to you at conventions, sometimes they're insulting you. They don't know they're insulting you. I don't think people willingly come up and say bad things to me. I would hate people would want to be that hateful that they would do that. But sometimes their questions or their statements, they think they're just talking and they don't realize they're insulting you. But it happens. Mm-hmm. I just brush it off. It's always fun to talk about them at dinner and like, hey, what'd you get today?
Man.
But for the most part, no, people are great. It's always good. Nice talking to people. It gets me out. I work at home for the past 3 years. So it's nice to get out and talk to people, and not just the people visiting the conventions, but also the other artists that I'm grouped with and stuff. And after doing them for a few years, you start recognizing a lot of the same people. Like you wind up in another city and it's like you know 10, 12 people that are, you know, in the row with you, and you all go out to dinner or something. So it's a little community into itself.
Okay. A little micro community of artists. That's cool.
Well, we had one question over in the chat that is from Miss Angel Hill, and she would like to know what you would tell artists today if they were wanting to start to learn to professionally draw.
How to look? Well, start with the basics. I mean, you got to learn how to draw. I mean, you have to understand shape, line, form, color, and texture.
Okay.
And once you do that, then you learn the basics of composition and if you're in a business like mine, you also have to learn how to deal with clients, and that assignments are not always going to be what you want to do. It's going to be what you have to do, and whoever's writing the check is right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you took that job, then it's your responsibility to please the client, not necessarily yourself, because they'll ask you to make changes that you don't always agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a little bit of influence, but you can't overstep your bounds. And that's a big part of it, because sometimes they ask you to do things you really don't want to do, but
morally,
you know,
or ethically,
my name doesn't
you don't
go on a lot. But, but observe life. Don't just draw comic books or cartoons. I don't say stop drawing those, because you can learn a lot, especially about simplifying, distilling your shapes. but draw from life as well. I mean, you have to know both.
Yeah. Kind of practice different styles to kind of find your own and that kind of thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, nature itself presents it with its own set of challenges. You have to learn how to interpret, you know, light and shadow. And before you could start stylizing nature, you have to understand what nature has first.
That's some great takeaways for the up and coming aspiring artists as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So I got to ask you, though, and so we're entering a new platform and a new kind of dimension for artists in way of digital-like drawing and stuff. What are your tools of the trade? Do you prefer to draw digitally over traditional pen and paper?
No, I still tend to prefer drawing pen and paper, but I prefer painting digitally now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just the way the industry, I mean, I wasn't trained to use digital media. Luckily, when I graduated, there was a time when you were allowed to learn on the job.
Right.
But and my process, thought process at least, has to be the same when you're going into it. It doesn't matter what media you're using. I mean, you get to take advantage of the media too. I mean, watercolor will do things oil paint won't do and vice versa. And digital media opens up so many avenues of incorporating like type and photography and collage that were much more time consuming earlier that now it's a couple of clicks of the button. I think you could be bolder. I think that's the greatest thing that digital media has brought is that you really had to think about, I'm not sure if I put this here, it'll work. And if it doesn't, then you have to either scrape it off or wait till it dries to paint over it or start completely over. And now it's like, I just start a new layer and see if it works, see if it doesn't work. So I love the fact that you can experiment boldly now without having to worry about ruining your piece.
Okay. So it's interesting you say that now. When you were originally trained at the Ringling, did you do traditional art, on canvas?
It was all traditional. Okay. I had one digital piece in my portfolio when I graduated.
So you did canvas?
Photoshop. Yeah, it was all canvas or illustration board or so forth. I saw Photoshop for the first time about a month before I graduated art school.
Wow. So you were that's actually a really good thing because if you don't have your basics, which is one, like you said, drawing elements, design, shape, and shadow, and dimension, combining that into a canvas, if you know what you're doing in those elements and those situations in the digital medium, it just kind of flows naturally.
Right. And, yeah. Well, it shouldn't matter what media you're using. The bottom line, the computer shouldn't be drawing for you.
It comes out of you as the artist.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's still people are still trying to get over that. I mean, people ask me at all. That's one of the awkward things people say. Yeah. Did you draw this by hand or is it digital?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's your answer. It doesn't matter. It's just something I create.
Yeah. And people think, it's digital. Then they're not impressed anymore and they just walk away from you.
Yeah. I don't ever really say much about the medium in which the piece is created, but kind of a weird one for you. Do you have any pet peeves? Things that just make you go, ear.
Yeah, wet socks. That's probably my number one.
So if you're walking in the theme park on a stormy day, you probably won't see John Pinto.
Like when you're getting dressed in the morning and you put on a fresh pair of socks and you don't have your shoes on yet and you step in the little puddle of dog. Kind of puddle of the dog, but you know, you walk past a dog bowl and there might be a spot on the floor.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Or, you know, someone was in the shower after you and there's some, you know, water on the floor. Gotcha. And you step in it. Yeah. Wet socks. That's my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's interesting. The more we know about John Pinto, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
You asked me. I was just I don't know if you're looking for a pet peeve as far as art-wise, but you didn't specify. So my biggest pet peeve is wet socks.
I like it.
I left it open-ended for a reason, John. So.
Well, my curiosity is, what is your guilty pleasure?
That's a tough one to answer. I think lately it's been being able to listen to like all the bands from when I was growing up that I used to be embarrassed to say I liked. And now I'm like, okay, saying, yeah, I do like them.
Wow.
What are a couple of those?
Ask, yeah, aren't you? Okay. Biggest one I never wanted to admit I liked them when I was in high school was like Culture Club.
Culture Club? Right? I love Culture Club.
Yeah, me too. In fact, my wife and I went to go see them when they were here last year, the year before and stuff. But in high school, there's no way I would have told anybody that I listened to Culture Club.
There's nothing wrong with Culture Club.
No, I'm okay with it now. That was just those, you know, awkward teenage years when you always have to look cool or what was acceptable or not at the time.
It's kind of like me, but a little bit kind of askew. Everybody was listening to Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre in my high school days. I was listening to Vangelis' Chariots of Fire. I don't know how that works. That's just how it is. So, yeah.
See, that was more of a current song when I was in high school.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, there's that age thing.
All right, now this one's it's still a fun question, but it's a little tougher.
Okay.
What are your top three films of all time that are your favorite?
Top three films of all time. Field of Dreams.
And why?
I lost my dad when I was a young boy. Mm. And I think the whole connection of, you know, the plot line of the movie, you know, it's not really about baseball. It turns out that he's trying to connect or make amends with his dad.
Wow. Yeah.
Baseball was what brought them and divided them.
Yeah.
So Field of Dreams, not that I left my dad on bad terms, but I guess it's the longing to, you know, something as simple
as that connection.
Yeah, you know, playing catch with dad. I mean, that would be
cool. Good choice. I like that.
Field of Dreams, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and
I saw your Indiana Jones sketch.
I'm a big Indy fan. Superman the movie, '78 Christopher Reeve.
Oh. Yes, Christopher Reeve. Yes.
I love me some Christopher Reeve. What a Superman he was in real life.
Like I said, I'm from North Jersey.
Okay.
I originally saw that movie when my mom took me when it came out in '78
mm-hmm.
at a theater in Hackensack, New Jersey. And if you know anything about the plot of the movie, one missile was headed to the San Andreas Fault in California. The other one was sent to Hackensack, New Jersey.
Oh, my. So it was filmed in –
it wasn't filmed there, but he does save Hackensack in the movie.
Okay. Now, I got to ask you, side question. What was it like seeing Christopher Reeve's Superman – in the cinema in 1978?
Oh, it was mind-blowing. And the poster, which is hanging right above my computer right now, actually, the original one sheet, is You'll Believe a Man Can Fly. And and that was the first time, they pulled it off, because it wasn't like the George Reeves laying on a board or on a wire, jumping out of off a trampoline, which was great. I mean, I grew up with those reruns when I was a little kid, but then this comes along, and they pulled off exactly what they said they were going to do, and presented a Superman for a modern world. And as corny as everything may be for truth, justice, the American way, and he absolutely pulled it off.
It was a beautiful film, and probably honestly one of my favorites. I'm so inspired by Christopher Reeve. And I think, honestly, his legacy will live on for eternity, because he left such an impact and a legacy.
Absolutely.
So following up with your favorite movies, what are your favorite musical artists, and have you seen any good concerts lately? Now, we know Culture Club. You dropped that one earlier. So
I did see Culture Club. Well, I just saw Switchfoot recently.
Switchfoot, nice.
They were not here for Night of Joy.
Yeah.
All-time favorite, Crowded House.
Okay.
Or any of the music by Neil Finn.
Okay. Neil Finn, Crowded House. Okay. And then, of course, obviously we have
Switchfoot. Switchfoot and Culture Club. Yeah.
So
I liked a lot of music. A lot of my friends growing up were in bands and stuff like that. And so we were always going to concerts. And North Jersey was a great place to grow up, so close to New York. And I just remember going to all these. I remember seeing REM when they were before they were playing stadiums, and they played Radio City, and seeing Rush and 10,000 Maniacs when they were playing clubs. And I saw the Go-Go's play a warm-up concert before their tour started. And they were wearing bouffant wigs and just playing like old Dreams covers, and nobody knew it was them until the day after.
Oh, that's cool. That's neat.
You know, so like the Smithereens and Los Lobos play the New York Pier, and
so you've seen some pretty good concerts in your time.
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, as far as my musical taste, I did.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very similar taste that we have. I mean, I know that we have probably about 10 or 12 years difference, but I was a child of the '80s, born in '79, and I was raised. My dad was like, "Oh no, we're listening to Bob Seger and CCR and John Fogerty and
all." Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like,
"That was the first 45 I ever had. Was Proud Mary."
Oh man, Proud Mary.
Keep on turning.
That's it, Proud Mary.
10 years older than you. I was born in '69.
So. Okay, all right. So you know, I got two more questions for you, John, and then we'll wrap it up with you. But you and I had a discussion recently about the signature that you have, and it's got a special meaning that I don't know if you want to divulge it, and you don't have to if you don't want to, but it kind of really touched me that you leave this little mark on every piece that you create. Do you want to share that? Or is that something you'd rather not?
I'm sorry, you have to forgive me. I don't know how specific I got with you about it.
It was a scripture.
Oh, the scripture part.
Yeah.
Okay, because there is something else hidden on my – it's not really hidden, but it's there, but most people don't realize.
Well, no, if it's hidden, you don't want nobody to know it. Then don't
well, it's not really it. Hidden. The okay. The message behind it, because I see it's up on the screen now.
Yeah.
And if you look above the O, there's a butterfly. That's on everything, and that does have
the little whoosh. I see it. Yeah,
has a meaning behind it. I don't really talk about that one.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
But the scripture is it goes usually right below my imprint of my name on every piece I do, and it's usually the verse of the day. So I'll open up my app on the phone and find out what that verse is when I finish it.
Wow.
And that's what goes down. And sometimes, you know, you could find meaning in the piece that goes along with, and sometimes it means absolutely nothing going along with the piece. But to me, it's putting the finishing touch on my piece. And that's
awesome. And then I would left that kind of open because I know that we had a small little conversation about it. And I thought that was just really intriguing that there's so much more into your signature and into your logo and to your work. And it's there if you find it, if your eyes are open to receive it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's exactly how it is. Luckily, I haven't come across a lot of negative reaction to it at all, which is a great thing. And the people who do notice it have all been very, very positive about it. And then just want to talk to me about it. And,
that's cool, man. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, you know, because I know when sometimes you're drawing and you're doing these things and you're going to these events.
It's fine. I'm sorry I stumbled because I thought you were talking about the butterfly and
No, you didn't. We didn't talk about the butterfly. You were talking about the scripture.
Now people are
now go, there's more.
What about the butterfly?
Now we're like,
what about the butterfly?
Lindsay, you want
everybody's going to have to buy a piece to see all of these secret, cryptic. Yeah. No.
So, Lindsay, do you want to do the honors and ask the last one question there? Not the other one, but the one about the legacy.
If you leave one thing as your legacy, what would it be?
Artistically or just everything?
Just when you think about life as a whole and what gifts we've been given, and people reflect on that, on you, what was that? What would be one thing you would want to be most noted for?
A good parent and husband.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good stuff right
that's
there.
That's it. Keeping it real.
I mean, I'm nothing without my wife and my son, and they're the world to me, and I can't imagine life without them at this point.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, I'm hoping I was a good son for my parents. I know I wasn't at all times, but I think overall, I like to think that I did please them. And if it's artistically, I you know, every artist wants to be immortal, and it's out of my hands as far as if that ever happens or not. But I just do the best work I can. I just hope people appreciate it. I love doing it, and that's all I can do. I mean, I've let everything else go.
Yeah.
You know, when you're younger and full of fire and trying to light the world on fire with your artwork and so forth. But now it's more of a, this is what I do. I hope you like it.
That's awesome. That is such a great mentality to be at. And, John, with that, I want to thank you so much for coming on to PopX tonight and spending about 30 minutes with us and just hanging out and just diving in. And hopefully, you know, the viewers and the listeners get to learn a little bit something about their favorite artists and a little bit something they may not have known, maybe a little nugget of wisdom along down the way about getting into the industry of being an artist yourself.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And I appreciate you, man. And is there anything, can you want to drop a link or drop an email how people can contact you?
I'm on a lot of the social medias. Most of them are Art of Pinto. So I have a Facebook page, an Instagram, a Twitter.
Okay.
And I don't even know.
So your website is johnpinto.com.
Yes.
And so you can log on now and you can actually check out his stuff.
I think the Facebook page is the best way to keep up with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Instagram, but I know communicating through Facebook seems to be the easiest way. If people actually wanted to write me or something, that's probably the best way to go. But,
and that's all at Art of Pinto. So facebook.com/Art of Pinto. Well, John, so much again. I thank you so much for just being on the show with us and sharing from your expertise and giving us some nuggets of wisdom that we can carry with us. And so hopefully we'll see you at a comic book shop or a con near you.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So.
Thank you very much.
All right, John. Take care, man.
Have a good night.
Later, man. Bye-bye. Wow. So that was really cool. I mean,
way cool.
That was really
cool
neat.
Art, cool guy behind the art.
I know, man. And it's really interesting when you kind of unpack all the many facets there is of being artists and creating and just where you have to be mentally and just I think one thing there's a takeaway you got to. From this whole interview, if there's one takeaway, you got to know the fundamentals. You got to know the basics before you can create something. And so I think I think that transcends in everything, whether you're a musician and you create a song, or you're an artist and you paint a masterpiece, or you're a photographer and you capture that perfect still.
Develop your foundation, get it nice and strong with those basic skills, and then you just hone in on it, perfect it, and then people will start to notice.
That's it. Well, as we wrap up, Lindsay Badger, PopX does have a hotline. And if always, if you're seeing something awesome and exciting on the shelves or in the theater or around geek culture in general, let us know. With our PopX hotline, just dial 850-417-7679. Again, that is 850-417-POPX. All right? So, yes.
Don't forget that we're also a part of an amazing network called Gunna Geek Network. And for all things more geeky, head over to gunnageek.com and check out the amazing podcasts on our home network. And they do have some awesome stuff over there, you guys.
Indeed.
Sure that you also follow us on social media. We're pretty much everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Patreon, Twitter. Yes. Pinterest. Okay. And you can find us at PopXCast on all those platforms. And if you feel so inclined, you can also send us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from you any way you want to talk to us. And don't forget to also check out our past shows, find our schedule for our future shows, and pretty much anything PopXcast at popxcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And Lindsay Badger, how can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
If you want to hang out with me and see what I'm up to, I'm on pretty much all the platforms at LR Badger.
All right. Lieutenant Badger. You did an amazing job this week filling in for Mr. Burke as he was once again having internet technical difficulty. Hopefully he'll be back next week. I don't know. I don't know. That's what happens when you're on that McDonald's Wi-Fi. Yo.
Internet gets you every time.
I'm telling you. So I am Joe Burke at Rotcav on the internet. And, of course, hats off to my amazing team PopX, to Miss Lindsay Badger right here, and to Mr. Mike Ippolito. All the way up in Atlanta, Georgia, for doing the slides and the graphic love. So that window that is controlled by a human, that is Micah Polito in Atlanta, Georgia. And so that was awesome sauce. Yes, it was. And so it's a little bit of information for you before we wrap up. Next week's show, we are actually going to be out of town. I'm going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada for the next 2 weekends. I know, so we're not going to have a PopX show. But when we return, we're going to have a really cool interview with Miss Audrey Brown. Audrey is a comic book creator, and she's an author, and she has wrote this amazing visual stunning. When you read it, the words just jump out of you, and you just start seeing these images in your head. It's called Leaves, as in the leaves that fall in the autumn. And so it's going to be a really cool –
And that show is October 23rd.
Yes, and that's when we will return here on PopX Cast, is October the 23rd. So my wife and I will be out of town next weekend celebrating our 6 years together as husband and wife in Sin City, Las Vegas.
And so, I've heard some of your itinerary. It's going to be a pretty awesome trip. So I hope you guys enjoy it and have tons of fun. We are going to miss you here at PopX Cast, but we look forward to your return with another awesome interview with another awesome artist.
Yes, and that's what we do. We bring the artists to you guys. And so hats off again to everybody over in the YouTube live chat room. We've got Herbie. We've got Ricky Prime, J.S. Gilbert, Luke, Angel Hill. So many great names came through tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in and just being a part of this amazing show called PopX Cast. So until next time, we'll see you on October the 23rd, episode number 35 with Audrey Brown. Take care and God bless.
From everyone at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at PopX Cast. Get your geek on.